This is WMUK's Let's Hear It, Music of the Moment in West Michigan. I'm Kara Lawrence, and I'm here in WMUK's Yoshimi Takeda studio with the four wonderful cellists of Cellocatessen: Chaz Helgi, Jordan Hamilton, Adriana Fernandez Vizcaino, and Allison Perez Monsanto. It is really great to have you all here with your instruments ready to play a very different kind of program. We have pieces from Latin America, we have classical type pieces, a little German polka, and even something from a contemporary pop band on the scene. So it's all coming up here on WMUK. I'm going to start with you, Chaz. I consider you the go-to person of the group getting this ensemble together. So what is Cellocatessen and what are your goals for the group?
Originally, we were put together by our teacher, Professor Uchimura, and he requested that we put an ensemble together for the showcase concert earlier this year. And from there, it just sort of developed. We started getting some gigs, and we needed to expand our repertoire, and it's just sort of evolved over time. You know, maybe not such a formal beginning, but it's definitely been productive, so.
Right, to the point where Cellocatessen is available for private and public performances around our area. Fontana, for example, has featured Cellocatessen in a crybaby concert, and folks who love the sound of cellos might have an event, a wedding, can always just call the School of Music to get in touch with Cellocatessen. Adriana, I understand you found these fateful Piazzolla pieces that you played on the showcase. Would you mind introducing the music?
Well, there are tangos. They're from Argentina, which is kind of close to where I'm from Ecuador. So we thought about doing, like, we wanted to do, like, really different kind of music. We just thought about that, and we played it once, and we really liked it, and we played it in the showcase, and it went pretty well. So we just stuck it to our repertoire, and we kept playing it whenever we had to play someplace, and everyone loved it, and we really enjoy playing that too.
All right, let's hear Cellocatessen on WMUK's Let's Hear It.
Thank you.
From WMUK's Takeda studio, we just heard two tangos by Astor Piazzolla, the great Argentinian tango composer. And in the studio here are four Western Michigan University musicians. We heard Chaz Helge, Allison Perez, Adriana Fernandez, and Jordan Hamilton. And that was Jordan Hamilton we just heard in that last solo on Liber Tango. So I want to get to know you, Jordan. Thanks for coming to WMUK.
Of course, glad to be here.
Tell me about your background as a cellist.
My background as a cellist. Well, I'm Jordan Hamilton. These are my three backup cellists. No. I am originally from Maryland. From a county called Prince George's County, and the city that I'm from is Upper Marlboro. It's in southern Maryland, and I played cello there for about 9 years. I grew up in the elementary school, Thomas G. Pullen, and then I went to a high school, Suitland High School, and they had a Center for Visual and Performing Arts there, and that's where I studied with, I got music theory classes. Orchestra classes. I had private lessons for the last 2 years there. And I also participated in the National Symphony Orchestra Youth Fellowship Program, where I would travel to the Kennedy Center once a week and watch the National Symphony Orchestra practice and get to ask questions with guest artists like Hannah Chang, Leonard Slatkin, Itzhak Perlman, you know, great opportunity in that. And I got free lessons with the National Symphony Orchestra. And then I went to undergrad at Baldwin Wallace University now. It used to be college, but they changed it. And I went there 4 years, studied with Regina Musherbach. Again, took theory classes and history classes. And then I'm here.
Studying with Dr. Uchimura.
Yes.
Yeah. It sounded like you had a lot of opportunities to play and to learn growing up in Maryland. I'm hoping that you found some places to fit in here, too.
Yes, I found many places to fit in. I found this quartet, which is very good. And just like you found this quartet, sort of, you know, not intending anything, but it turned out to be something great. My experience in Kalamazoo has done the same sort of mimic that. I've come here and met a lot of opportunities. I'm a tutor at the Gilmore, where I help them in their after-school piano labs program. And then I also help with the Kids in Two program at the school. And I'm got a position in the Southwest Michigan Symphony Orchestra. And I am teaching at a Boys and Girls Club in Benton Harbor. I'm, you know, playing in the orchestra here. And I'm, you know, gigging with other orchestras. So it's a lot of opportunity in Kalamazoo. And every time I talk to people about Kalamazoo, I'm surprised at the amount of arts and amount of support for the arts and the level of the arts that this, you know, sort of small town has. It's very great.
That's true. So, Ariana, you introduced the Piazzolla pieces and you mentioned you were from Ecuador. I wondered if you would talk a little bit about your upbringing and your cello background.
Well, I started cello when I was around 8 back home. We still don't have master's degrees in music back there. So I really wanted to keep playing and learning more. So I just came here because my sister was here 2 years ago. And I came to visit her and I had a lesson with Bruce Uchimura. And I really liked it. So I applied and I got here, and I feel like I've improved a lot in only 1 year. It's like more than I ever expected. Anyway, I think I had a pretty good background. My teacher back at home was really good.
So your sister is musical. What about your parents or any other siblings?
My brother is a violinist. He's right now in Russia doing his master's too.
In Russia?
In Russia, wow. In St. Petersburg. So he's pretty good. He's the good one. and then my sister, she's doing a DMA right now too in flute. But my parents are not musicians at all. They just like it, and they were always really supportive. And we were like, one day, you know, I just want to keep playing. And they were like, okay, fine. Where do you want to go? So they were really nice to us, and they just let us do whatever we wanted to, and that was pretty awesome. They're helping me a lot while I'm here, and I'm really thankful about that, because like I told you, Ecuador is getting better now, but that doesn't mean that it's like a great place to live just playing an instrument. So it's kind of a risk, but I'm glad we could do it, and I'm really happy that I'm here. I'm enjoying this a lot.
I'm curious about what your hometown looks like. Is it mountainous or by the ocean? Or
it's just perfect. It's a mixture of everything. Well, the city that I'm in is in the coast, so it's like an hour away from the beach. But it only has like a river, but it doesn't have like all the things that you will see if you Google Ecuador. But like if I go 1 hour to the left of the country, I will find the beach. And if I go an hour to the other side, I will find the mountains. So I'm right in the middle. So whenever I'm like, I feel like going to the mountains, I just drive for an hour. So yeah, I just love my country. I really want to go back because I just think it's so beautiful.
If you've just tuned in, I'm talking to members of Cellocatessen, a cello quartet, all members of the School of Music at Western Michigan University. We're going to continue here with a piece by Johann Strauss Jr. And Ariana, you are sort of the lead-off person throughout this piece, which is a little harder than it sounds because you're bowing at all.
It is really hard. We were struggling with that piece a lot because it gets, whenever we have class, we work a lot on bow, how to get a good sound with the bow. But out of the nowhere, we have this hard piece that is not with the bow. So it's really hard. So we were trying, like, should we do more vibrato? Should we put our finger closer to the bridge? We're like, what should we do in order for this to sound good? So that took us a long time. And also, there are markings that we know there are supposed to be in the part but are not, like ritardanos and that kind of stuff. So we have to be looking at each other all the time, and it gets really hard at some point. But I think that's one of the most enjoyable pieces that we have, and everyone loves it. And when we play for kids, it was like, whoa, they're playing a different thing. It sounds different. It was just, we enjoy that a lot. So that makes us play it better. But yeah, it's really hard. It doesn't, when you hear it, it doesn't sound hard.
I don't think anyone will hear anything but a really enjoyable pizzicato polka by Johann Strauss Jr. Here's Cellocatessen on WMUK's Let's Hear It. Thank you. Here in the studio at WMUK, we heard Celica Tessin with an arrangement for four cellos of the Pizzicato Polka by Johann Strauss Jr. On cellos, we heard Adriana Fernandez Fiscaino, we heard Allison Perez Monsanto, Chaz Helge, and Jordan Hamilton visiting with us at WMUK. That was really, really great, guys. You mentioned cello culture. This might be a good topic for conversation. I want to know what concerns a cellist. And Jordan, you actually look like you could comment on this. Cello culture. Who are you all?
So, you know, there's different types of cultures. And you have a bro culture, you know, where they battle each other for the pecs. And then you have some of the prissy lady cultures where, you know, they check out each other's makeup or the next fashion. And then you have the cellist who check out the size of your callus on your thumb, on your left hand. People that we usually hate, Popper. Who else?
Popper. Who, no one else Prokofiev. Knows who Popper is.
I actually don't hate Popper.
All right.
Maybe that's a controversy. I'm sitting between cellists here. This is a dangerous thing to say. I guess when I think about the word cello culture, I actually think I think that's part of it. I think we're kind of like closet violinists. We're like subversively competitive. But I think one of the things that's really great about cello culture is that we get to come together and play music. There's a big tradition that starts with Casals, in which we're writing large ensemble pieces for just cellos because we have the full range of bass, of inner voice, of melody. So I think there's something fraternal about the way that we commune together. And I think that that is really kind of a neat thing to be a part of because it also develops through the decades. There are sort of lineages and everything. You know, for me, technically, quote unquote, I belong to the German school of cello playing with Emilia Cologne and Janos Starker, Adolf Schiffer, back to Popper, actually. Popper is my cellistic great-great-grandfather.
Just for our listeners' sake, what's his full name?
David Popper, the famed Hungarian cellist who wrote the 40 etudes for cello. It's called the High School of Cello Playing. It is not for high schoolers. and he wrote them in such a way to really screw with you, basically. Just really test every difficult thing you can do on the cello. But he also wrote, you know, but that's why most cellists associate him with agony and pain and gnashing of teeth. But he also wrote some really beautiful character pieces. And before I went to Indiana, I hated Popper because I just played the etudes. But Emilia Cologne, who was a great lover of Popper because of Janos Starker and his connection with Popper, Mr. Starker recorded a number of show pieces. Short pieces that won a Grammy, and that's one of the things he was famous for. But I learned so much about characters and how things can be fun in Popper. They don't just have to be all torturous.
Allison, would you like to weigh in on this cello culture idea? Do you like getting together with other cellists?
Yeah, I definitely think that with cellists, it's different than other instruments because we really get close together. Just like because of our repertoire, we actually have like ensemble music written for like any quantity of cellos. And it's pretty much the only instrument that can do that just because of the range. We cover like the high range, middle range, and low range.
Right. You just mentioned that. And I noticed that while you're mm-hmm. playing, I'm not missing violas. I'm not missing violins.
Neither do we.
We're too cool for that.
That is one of the things, though, because when you work with string players, we bicker about bowings and fingerings and colors and all these articulation. There is a sort of bitterness in a traditional string quartet setting. But when one of my colleagues makes a remark and says, you know, well, I don't think you're really approaching that stroke right. It's not loaded with maybe it is a violin or thing, maybe it's a viola thing, but it just seems a little different. I think it goes back to that chill sort of, you know, community, culture, sort of that sense of fraternity that we have. That
yeah.
Maybe it takes the edge off things a bit.
Yeah, but definitely cello is the only instrument that you can take and create even an orchestra if you wanted, and it will work perfectly because we have all the range to do it.
And I also think that the cello culture is more accepting and adopting of different styles. I think especially in recent times, the cello has expanded into the pop genre, the rock genre, the jazz genre. There's a lot of different types of music, world music. Yo-Yo Ma is killing it. But I think cellists are more down to earth than a lot of musicians. And I think it has to do with the vibrations that we experience every single day when we practice. I think since we have this, the low string and we have the high string.
And for those of you who just tuned in, I'm talking to Celica Tessin, a quartet of cellists all trained at Western Michigan University. And they are about to play a piece by one of the classic cellists of the 19th century, Julius Klengel. Let's hear it.
Thank you.
That's Cellocatessen here in the studio at WMUK, featuring Alison Perez Monsanto, Adriana Fernandez Vizcaino, Chaz Helge, and Jordan Hamilton, all playing on this piece by Julius Klengel, an impromptu. So Chaz, you found this piece through a sight reading session with two people who had just got engaged.
That is correct.
You're surprised by that terrific ending.
It was a surprise to everyone in the room except my former teacher, Amelia Cologne, who had picked it out. We didn't realize it until we were right up on the wedding march that that's what it was. And actually, Professor Uchimura said the first time he heard us play it in a concert, he came up to me afterwards. He said, "I wasn't emotionally prepared for that," because it does kind of catch you off guard. So I think it's a pleasant surprise, at least.
Yeah. Again, this is Cellocatessen, and I guess we have to admit here on the radio that the nature of the group is not too permanent. This group came together for a specific event last fall and has had considerable success finding places to play and opportunities in the community. But you're all in school and may go on to bigger and better things in not too much time. So this is a great moment to be capturing all of you here together. Now we're going to move on to a piece written by a member of Cellocatessen, and that's Alison Perez Monsanto.
Yes.
When did you find time in your student schedule to write a piece?
Well, actually, I wrote the piece for a class. I was taking Composition 1 last semester, and since we started doing the Piazzolla, I decided to do a cello quartet for my last project. And I basically wanted to do something from my country. I'm from the Dominican Republic. And basically, my piece is called Merengue Quartet. So merengue is the national dance from the Dominican Republic. And it's been translated to the classical world already. But this is the first cello quartet written for this genre. So I like to think of my piece as a combination of classical and merengue, because merengue is supposed to be like a really happy dance, but I did the piece in a way that sometimes doesn't sound as happy. And it's optional to have percussion with it. The percussion for the merengue is called tambora, which is a drum, and güira, and it can be played with or without it. So for today, we're doing it without the percussion. These guys made me really happy with the piece last semester. We had to perform it for my class. And I don't know, something that started just like a project ended up being another piece for our group, pretty much. And it made us become more cohesive. So
I can't wait to hear it. Let's hear Merengue Quartet by Alison Perez Monsanto here on WMUK's Let's Hear It. Thank you. Merengue Quartet, played by Celica Tessin, and it was written by a member of the group, Alison Perez Monsanto. Guys, that was terrific new music, a wonderfully attractive piece, and I really want to congratulate you, Alison.
Thank you.
Like, is that your first piece for cello quartet?
Yes, yes it is.
You called it merengue, it's a dance.
Yes.
Right.
But it's the national dance.
It had many different sections to mm-hmm. it. And everybody, I noticed, everybody had something to do at some point. Like, yes. It had a really important part.
Yes, because actually I wrote the piece thinking about every one of us. Like, I wrote the parts specifically for Chaz, Jordan, Adriana, and me. So even though it has like cello 1, 2, 3, and 4, there's no actual like voices in it. Like, everyone has like an important part or an accompaniment part. So I wrote it specifically for Celica Tessin.
You're the ideal composer for a cello quartet, because as a cellist, sometimes you play, if you're in a string quartet and you're playing Haydn, well,
yeah,
that's
gets
a lot of fundamental notes to play.
Yeah, it gets boring.
It's like Professor Uchimura says, though, is, you know, we spend our lives as cellists making other people sound good. You know, if you aren't fundamental, if you aren't really in tune, if you aren't really keeping steady pulse, it can really undercut the ensemble. So I think one of the nice things about a piece that's arranged well like that, when everybody sort of gets a chunk of it, is you kind of get to come in and out of the background and, you know, go into the foreground and everything. So make others sound good and then try and make yourself sound good too.
I'm speaking with the four cellists of Celica Tessin, a group of Western Michigan University cello students of Bruce Uchimura. Chaz Helge is a second-year master's student. Adriana Fernandez Vizcaino is a first-year master's student. Alison Perez Monsanto, a senior at WMU. And Jordan Hamilton is a first-year grad student. Spending time with you guys and hearing you play, it just gives me this wonderful feeling of endless possibilities. You're all at an exciting point in your life. You've seen your playing progress in a few short years. Of course, it's a lot of hard work, and there must be times when it doesn't seem like things are progressing fast enough.
Mostly it goes in cycles. So for a very long time, there's no improvement, or there's subtle improvement, but it's not as much as you would like. And then all of a sudden you just, you know, you shoot straight up, and you go through cycles of like awakening and then going to sleep. That's what I like to think about it. You know, like when I'm asleep, I'm learning, you know, and I don't think I'm progressing. But then when I wake up, I'm moving forward and I'm experiencing all these things. I'm starting to see all the stuff that I saw in like in this metaphor, my dreams, you know, and then you start to be able to use it. And then you go back to sleep. And then the process starts all over again.
I think the way he put it is like very true, you know, because definitely there's always a time that you kind of hit a wall and you feel like you're not actually improving, although you always are. But then suddenly there's something that happens, like, I don't know, could be anything, like a masterclass or maybe a concert that you go, and it kind of like opens your mind to new ideas, and that makes you make like the big improvement and go to the second cycle that Jordan just mentioned and be way better than you were before. So it's like just a constant kind of like evolution and development. So I think it really like represents the musical experience.
Mr. Starker used to say that, you know, you climb and then you get to a certain point and pat yourself on the back, champagne, celebrate, and then, but now you're at the bottom of the next level and now you have to continue to climb, and that process doesn't stop. I think for me, at least, the way I organize sort of the cycles is the biggest milestones are failure. Big disappointments where you set a goal, you don't reach them, or you thought you were somewhere and you find out that you're not. I think that once you encounter, you know, that failure, that causes you to reevaluate. There's this thing that psychologists talk about called liminal periods. And a liminal period is what you start doing as soon as you say the words, basically, I don't know what to do. And whatever you start doing after that is your liminal period, and they're extremely important. And I think that we're brought up in the education, in certain facets of the education system, to think that we're supposed to have the right answer the first time, and if you don't, then you're stupid and, you know, or you're not talented. But I think what's really important is to work through those things. That process of having to pick yourself back up and move forward, that's what makes you a better artist or a better teacher or a better player. Because, you know, I read something the other day. It just said that failure is just another word for experience.
Who would have thought you'd turn on the radio and be getting life advice from a group of cellists? But it's true. We're at the end of our time together, and we're going to finish up with some pieces that maybe you did take a bit of a risk with, Chaz.
It's a risk because I don't really arrange. I don't claim to, not like any of the our jazz students here, our composition students who, you know, really know their way around the charts or, you know, how to effectively arrange for instrumentation. But
And you're talking about a song called Blackout.
Yes.
By
the band Muse. They're pretty well known prog rock band, and I thought of arranging it. Because actually a friend of mine, Will Rowe, who's from Michigan, goes to IU. We studied together. He's a cellist. When I came here my senior year for Michigan Youth Arts Festival, I remember we jammed out on some Muse with another bass player, Steven Fernandez, who goes to Western. So kind of comes full circle, I guess.
Are you ready to play it?
Sure. Thank you.
That's a song you might hear on Top 40 Radio, a Muse song, arranged for four cellos by cellist Chaz Helgi, who's here in the studio at WMUK, along with Alison Perez Monsanto, Adriana Fernandez Vizcaino, and Jordan Hamilton. They are Cellocatessen. Gosh, guys, that, I have to admit, I have not heard the original song. That is a terrific piece and sounds terrific on four cellos. Just amazing. Great job.
Thank you.
You were mentioning as you were prepping the music that it kind of reminds you of something from an opera.
Yeah, it's for some reason it sounds like Offenbach to me, or there's something very operatic about it. And I know that Muse, a couple of their members are classically trained, but there's a sort of grandeur and a sort of epicness to their music. And so I think one of the things I had in mind for arranging the piece and wanting, you know, to bring it on the air and everything for listeners is that I meet people either in the classical world or the popular music world who see it as very sort of us versus them. But I don't actually see them as being that different. And I think if people let down those barriers, you can see a lot of similarities between things because it's all telling a story. I just think it's really cool to try and make those connections.
You have another piece by Muse coming up. Mm. And I was wondering what the instrumentation in the original sounds like. Is it vocal? I assume song. And what else?
Well, Doran here is pantomiming. It comes in with a really really aggressive bass line that sort of underlies the whole thing. And drums. A lot of distorted guitar. In the middle of the piece, there's a really epic guitar solo. That Allison and Adriana play together in thirds, and it sounds really wicked. They do a really good job with it. So,
my last chance here, guys. Thank you so very much for giving us a terrific hour of music at WMUK. Thank you.
Thank you for inviting us.
Let's hear the final piece. This is Hysteria, played by Cellocatessen. Thank you. Cellicatessen performed Hysteria by Muse, arranged by Chaz Helgi. The members are Chaz Helgi, Alison Perez Monsanto, Adriana Fernandez Vizcaino, and Jordan Hamilton. They played live at WMUK's Yoshimi Takeda studio. A huge thanks to sound engineer Martin Clem. If you'd like to know more about Cellicatessen and their availability for public and private events, I recommend going to the webpage chazhelgi.com. chazhelge.com, or call the School of Music at Western Michigan University, 269-387-4667. I'm Kara Lawrence. Thanks for listening to WMUK's Let's Hear It, Music of the Moment in West Michigan.